I wanted to preach on this, talk on this last week already, but then I spoke to my wife and then she changed my sermon. But that was nice because it was good. But what I wanted to talk about, or what we talked about last week, is, you know, Joshua taking the people across the Jordan. They already crossed a river, or that was the Dead Sea that they crossed when they came out of Egypt. Then God, they travel around and wander in the desert 40 years, but then God says, but this is actually not where I want you. You want need to go to Canaan, so you'll have to cross another river. So in our lives, sometimes we get to these stages in our lives where God says, now cross over, step up, put it in another gear, put from third to fourth. And I actually wanted to preach on, we must step up our prayer in church. Obviously, it should start. We shouldn't intercede only on a Tuesday morning at intercession. If that's the only prayer we do, we'll fail. So the prayer should start in the home and flow from there. But there's a step up in our prayer that I think I should talk about. Because as you grow and as, like I said, you face the enemy, but the enemy becomes stronger. Because if you get stronger, he comes with a greater force against you. So you need to be ready. Therefore, our prayer needs to grow. But I want to talk about, I don't know, two or three things. And the first one is intercession as prayer. Intercession is a specific type of prayer. What is intercession? Job 16 verse 21. That he would argue the case of a man with God, as a son of man does with his neighbor. Intercession, as you can see, or to intercede for somebody, the word means inter. Inter between, you're between something here and something, you're in between, intercede. So intercession, there's a little bit of a definition there. It's the act of mediation, entreaty, prayer or petition on behalf of another. Think of a lawyer. If you need to go to court, the lawyer represents you. What does the lawyer do? The lawyer fights, hopefully if he's good. He fights so that you don't have to bear the full brunt of the law. He is your mediator. He tells your story to the judge with all the difficult law, mutis tandis, you know, all those Greek words. Was it Latin, not Greek? So he's in the gap, stands in the gap for you. He's trying to keep you out of jail if you've done something wrong. And that is what intercession means, like this scripture says. And sometimes we think that it can be a bit confusing, but if you explain it, can we mediate with God? Can we argue with God? Can we try and change God's mind on some things? Well, this scripture says that he would argue the case of a man with God. So we can sometimes, and we're an intercessor is supposed to almost go and argue for a man, for something else, for somebody else before God. That is what intercessor means. It's I bring somebody else, or my family, or my finances before God, and you argue with God. You reason with God. So can we reason with God? Sometimes my wife needs to rebuke me, and I say, but why should I pray for my finances? Doesn't God know what I'm going through? Why should I pray for sickness in my family? Doesn't he know about it? What's wrong with him? Should I tell him about it? Yes, you should. It's like a dad and a child. The child can come and say, Dad, please, can't we go to the zoo? No, we're going to watch rugby. Oh, please, Dad. Oh, okay, let's go to the zoo. So it's a father-son, father-children relationship. And God, because he did not make robots that just obey him and just do what he says, wants us to stand in the gap, talk to him about certain things. There are lots of examples in scripture where a man of God stands before him for Israel or for whatever circumstance, and he pleads with God, and God changes what he wanted to do. It's a bit difficult to understand. How can God change his mind? But that is the role of an intercessor. Let me stop there before I finish this sermon with the first slide. Now, a good example of somebody interceding or playing the role as an intercessor is Jesus Christ on the cross. Why did Jesus die on that cross? For his sins, he did not have sin. He was the mediator, the intercessor there, saying, I take all these people here, Theo and you guys and everyone, I take their sins on me and I stand in the gap. The wrath of God comes on me, not on them, so that they can have a way out. So God, Jesus' life was a perfect example of an intercessor saying, I'm going to stand in the gap for these people. What's the heart of an intercessor? Exodus 32, verse 31 to 32. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, Oh, these people have sinned a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. So what Moses is asking here, the heart of an intercessor is scary. He says that my name, because one day when we die, your name will be in a book, the book of life, meaning you'll go to heaven or you go to hell. You'll go to heaven if your name is in the book. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you've been saved. Moses is saying, Lord, erase my name, but please take them. So it's not a man with a heart of saying, they are full of sin, they can go to hell. No, it's a man with empathy, sympathy, saying, rather let me have it, rather let me feel it. Now this is quite scary, but that was Jesus Christ, and that was Moses. There were people that had the heart of other people on their mind. They interceded for other people. They brought the sins, even if people were so full of sin. Remember, God has a massive issue and he hates evil, but he hates sin, but he does not hate sinners. He created sinners. He created people and they sinned. So he does not hate the people, the creation. It's like his children. He made them. He does not hate them, but he hates sin. And that is where our mind sometimes must change in the way that we talk and we address sin. We're like, this is what people sometimes experience of Christians when we talk about them, the world, people out there. You sinners. No, that's not intercession. Yes, we talk about the sin and we hate the sin and we pray the sin out and we stop the sin, but we love sinners. Galatians 6 verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So fulfill the law of Christ. The heart of an intercessor is burdened. He's burdened because of other people's sin. He does not judge them. Are you with me? Says amen. Hallelujah. Somebody make a noise of an organ. Where am I now? Job 22 verse 30. How does the life, if I can call the state of an intercessor, that's a bit confusing. How does the lifestyle of an intercessor look like? They normally like a bit of serious people. They come across quite serious. Let me read Job 22:30. He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes, you will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. That summarizes it very well. But as we spend time with God in His presence, as we personally pray, God's holiness rubs off on us. That's the first thing that usually goes. Well, I think there's two things that happen. Firstly, if you really pray and really see God, He shows you what's wrong with you. Not in a condemning way, and you realize, oh Lord, I need to change. And then the next thing He does is, your whole focus and outlook on life and the way that you even speak about people changes because you see His heart. And then you, instead of talking about people, gossiping about people, how bad and terrible they are, you're starting to talk about, you're concerned about them. You're worried about them. So sometimes, that's what should happen. God's heart rubs off on us. And this scripture says that, it shows us that intercessors are clean. They've got clean hands. They're pure in life. Their lifestyle is pure. And then, You can intercede and stand in the gap for other people and call them and say, Lord, let's save them. Is your hond now? Luckily, I'm okay with dogs. You know, the first time when I was still married, I went to, I think it was the first time I visited their parents' house. And as I came in, the garage door opened and their massive dog, it's like the mix between all the furious dogs. It's a, what's it, these German shepherds mixed with a chow, mixed with something else, came storming out of the garage. And I was terrified of dogs. And he's like, rawr. And all I knew, remember from some National Geographic movie, is don't run, you know, and don't do this, don't look big, look small. So I was like, I said, I started looking as small as I could. Hello, Buck, hello, how are you? And thank God he stopped, and he didn't bite me. That was the first test I passed right there. Praise God. Imagine he would have bitten me. He has incidentally bitten my wife and my daughter by now. I was very angry. Where am I? Yes. Where am I? Okay. So, I said it this morning. I want to say it again here. Is that a lot of things in our lives come right, fall into place, the moment we start praying. And you can see it in how people talk. They either talk, they complain about their wife or their husband or their job or their church or the small group or the church that's not flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit or whatever it is. But the moment you as a person start really praying, your language changes and things start falling in place. Then you start thanking God for your wife and your husband, and you start thanking Him for the church and what they're doing, etc., etc. It's just, listen to people when they come to you, because sometimes you must send them back and say, you know what, I actually think the problem lies with you, not your wife. Go and pray for your wife. I remember one day there was somebody whom Uncle Dennis, I can't call him Uncle, Dennis the vet, we prayed for a couple, and the guy was just complaining about his wife. So then, I don't know if this was a revelation from Dennis Senior. He said, no, I think you must go this week and pray for your wife and ask God to show you 40 things of why you should say thank you for her. And this guy was like, afterwards he said, 40? Really, 40 things? Because he maybe could have thought of 5, but 40 is a bit much, you know, really. But his heart's not right. Don't come to me complaining about stuff. Spend time with God, your language changes. I just wanted to throw that in there. And husbands need to pray for their families. There are sometimes so many things that go wrong wherever we find ourselves. You're married, not married. And it's just not, you can feel, sense stuff is not right. And then it's your duty, husband, to pray. And things will start falling into place when you pray, because you're the head of the house. Wake up. Pray. Pray. It's terrible. It's the same, the youth. It's the same. And Seth told us the other day, where's the youth? Where are you guys? But spiritually, the women are sometimes more awake than the men. Look at them. They're more already than the guys. But I love the guys. But we love them all. But there's something we must pray right. Men must stand up in our society. All these poor kids, let me just jump onto that bandwagon also. It's terrible, the situation that they find themselves in. But they either grew up with a mother or a grandmother, but the dad wasn't there. What's wrong? I don't have sympathy. Men must wake up. Men must take on the spiritual role that they're supposed to take up. That's why I stand here, because of my dad, that every night, not because he wanted to make a scene of it, on his knees, in front of his bed, prayed for me. Wasn't a spirit-filled Christian. So what? I stand here because of him. And he stood there because of his dad. I told you last week how you got saved and decided men must wake up spiritually, take authority, then family issues disappear. So many things because we're lazy, we don't pray. and some of you women are here and your husbands are not Christians, I don't want to make it sound that you don't have any authority. You have lots of authority. God bless you that you can pray and stand in that gap also for them. So that's fine. Don't be condemned. God knows you and understands your situation. 2 Peter 2 verse 7 and 8. And he rescued righteous Lot, greatly worn out, and the heart of an intercessor, that greatly worn out and distressed by the wanton ways of the ungodly and lawless. For that just man living there among them tortured his righteous soul every day with what he saw and heard of the unlawful and wicked deeds. An intercessor is not distant from the pain and the suffering of people that don't know Jesus Christ. He is distressed and tortured in his soul about them. It's actually not such a glamorous topic. But spend time with God in His presence. He starts talking to you about people. And you start to just get a little bit. And praise God, He doesn't do it. He doesn't dump all these feelings on us. Because we'll die. Because of all the pain and suffering that Jesus experiences of people that don't know Him. We'll die instantly. We won't make it. But spend time with God and He starts transferring His heart onto you. And you feel distressed. Rather than judging people and saying, whoa, they're terrible. Sometimes we can, even as Christians, charismatic Christians, you know, we've got the whole way of, we sing the right way and we jump and praise the right way, but our language... Gosh, but that's not what I wanted to say. Let me go on. Don't want to repeat myself all the time. But here it just gives you the... They were influenced by people's hurt. And will be influenced and should be more about the people's state out there and see people with different goggles. I was challenged again this week. Well, I had a certain mentality and idea. And that was one of the first things that Jankor taught me when he came here, is that look at people through God's glasses. Because you sometimes people come and they're like half Christians or not really Christians. You don't know what. And you judge them. You put them in a box. Oh, he's in that box. And then that's how you treat him. And somebody just surprised me completely this week again, where I had to repent and say, sorry, Lord, I looked at this man with my goggles. But when you look at him, he's like awesome. And that's okay. Psalm 97 verse 10. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the soul of His saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. I'm not saying, yeah, let's love everything that's going on in life. No, we hate evil. An intercessor hates evil. And I was saying it in the first service. We must pray that the same laws that are passed long ago in South Africa does not get passed here. For instance, they are starting to shout now that prostitution must be legalized. We cannot, we must stop that thing before it's in the land. Not when it's in, woo, now in a, through night prayer. It's too late. We must wake up. We're going to talk about the watchman just a little bit later. The watchman is somebody that sees something coming, then acts, not wait until it comes in. Oh, they're in this castle, they're in the... They're in the city. What are we going to do now? No. There's lots of blessings that we have in this nation. I just hammer on about this every Sunday. Forgive me, but abortion is not legalized and prostitution is not legalized. And you start by legalizing those things. It's an open door for lots of bad stuff to come into your nation. We don't have it. We must keep it out. When these people shout and they want to have all kinds of conferences about stuff, we don't have to go there and shout with banners and stuff. We must pray that it stops. Okay. The next, so we're talking about intercession, travail. There's a next level I almost want to call of praying, and that is to travail. Now, I have to give an example of what, just to give you an idea of what travailing means. Travail is almost like a woman giving birth. Sorry. But it is that painful process. It's something that you carry, and you need to, you know, you're going into labor now, and it's going to be painful. But it needs to happen. It's that painful, and sometimes And God wants to give us more of this by just those burdens that He wants to download onto us, and then we must pray it in the Spirit, out through, that it starts manifesting here in our midst. Romans 8, 26 to 27. But I want to tell you, God's not going to give you that burden. He's not giving that. He will not give that burden to people that He cannot trust it with, because it's heavy stuff. But I remember in my life, and it shouldn't stop, hopefully, but every now and then, haven't you also heard the stories that some people wake up at 3 o'clock at night, I must pray for pity. Prays for pity. Doesn't know what he's praying for. Then later on he hears the guy was in an accident or almost in an accident, but luckily God woke you up and you prayed. That's that thing. Or God, sometimes with me, you just feel this. And then I just pray in the Spirit. Sometimes I don't know what to pray in my language. And I pray in the Spirit. And then after a while, it's like a fighting in the Spirit. And then you feel, okay. It's something is gone. Something is lighter. You don't know what it is, but it's lighter. That is travailing prayer. And God, these certain demons and certain strongholds in our nation that won't be broken unless it's broken through travail and Christians praying it and birthing it in the Spirit. Won't happen. There's certain stuff that won't leave until we get this heart. Romans 8, 26, 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Now who searches the heart knows that the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, and wicked deeds. There's an example where Jesus, Lazarus, is about to die. There's lots of in Jesus' life, just before He had to go to the cross. Hello? It's okay, I can go on. Hey, what's it? But Jesus, just before He was on the cross, He went to pray, and He didn't want to die on the cross. But He prayed that, and imagine Jesus didn't travail that in prayer where He sweated blood. And because after that, I have to do this. He asked God, can't you take this cup away from me? Can't you take... No, He can't. But Jesus had to pray that thing through. Otherwise, you and me would all gone to hell. There are certain things like that here in Swakop. Did I tell you? I did tell you. I want to scare people with this every now and then. We had, in one of our meetings, I told you last week, two former, I don't know if they are still or not or whatever, but one of the... Now, I must be careful when I say this, but of the high-ranked, from information that I get, don't know it personally, but Satanists in our church. Why were they here? Could be that they just want to get to know God. I cannot ignore that fact. But it could be that they have a plan and they're executing the plan. And that's fine. We should have been awake. Watchmen, I'm getting to that. It's fine. They can come in. They can all come in. I have no issue with that. But I know what's going on. We know. We see. It's all right. Come in. We've been praying for this. God told us you come in. Please sit down. That's how it should be. But we're a bit asleep sometimes. But I'm just saying it to you. The devil is not asleep. And he sees we're growing. He sees we're going somewhere. And he's got a certain plan. I'm not threatened by him. In the name of Jesus Christ, God must cover me with His blood, and that's the only reason I can say that, but I'm not intimidated by Him. But I need to wake up. If my family is, whatever, sick all the time, or me and my wife fight all the time, maybe it's an attack and I must wake up and stop blaming her or whatever. We're not fighting all the time. But sometimes the occult... spiritually more awake. That's why when I believe, one of the reasons I believe, when black people in Africa come to Jesus Christ, they're on fire because they already know the occultic side, the evil side of the spiritual stuff, because they deep into that stuff sometimes with the Sangoma stuff. And then they get saved. They just get saved on another level than white people because we don't know the stuff. But there is a devil and there is demons and we need to wake up. So they wake up quickly, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they run with Jesus, they cast out demons, And we white people are like, ooh, what? But we just need to wake up. Ask the mission team that went to Angola. If you ever had doubts that there are demons and they are capturing people, go on a mission team to Angola. I had a, or let's, not only Angola, praise God. I had a womb. He told me he wrote a book and he didn't publish it. But he had a church in the north, Uvambulan, somewhere. He tells of when they would pray that the demons would go out of, I'm preaching this. I'm not going to stop. I'm saying it now. Where they had to preach that the demons go out of the house, then the demons would run like mice on the roof. They would hear. The stuff is real. Hello. And there are certain, and the things are more subtle when it comes to the white people. Let me put it that way. It's not like I don't know how to put it. It's more subtle, but it's the same demon and it's the same devil and he needs to be cast out. That's why so many white people in certain, I'm white. Praise God I can say this because I'm white. Otherwise people might get offended. But certain cultures, Afrikaners, like me is one of them. There's some stuff that holds us. We must break through that. Germans, break through. Okay. Where am I now again? All right. God looks. We're talking about intercession, travailing, somebody to stand in the gap. I say this. I bless my father whenever I can. He was a man that stood in the gap. God is looking for people to stand in the gap rather than saying, Lord, they're so evil. No. They're evil, but I'm standing in a gap for them. My dad was somebody like that in our family where everybody ran to him. When he died at his funeral, I shared this because I wanted to bless his legacy. That's why I'm standing here. I'm walking in his legacy because he was a man that said, but Lord, there's nobody else. It must be me. I must stand in the gap for the other family that are broken and falling apart. Come to me, run to me. And then he'd find his strength in God. Ezekiel 22:32-31. And I sought a man among them who should build up a wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. I have returned their way upon their heads, declares the Lord God. God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap for all the Oshivambu people, all the Herero people, all the German people, all the Afrikaner people that don't serve him, that are in their wicked ways. Yes, they are. Looking for somebody to stand in the gap so that he does not pour out his wrath on them. We need to grow in our prayer. It is not about, Lord, bless our church with 10 more people. The whole of the nation up there in the north. We need to stand in the gap. The vision is bigger. Genesis 18. It's not the only reason I'm preaching this, but Yaku and them, all the guys that were on a mission team, they're so on fire now, man. I'm jealous. I'm really jealous. I didn't come to this week's intercession because I didn't want to hear all the nice stories. I'm jealous. Because Mark spoke to me and I'm like, oh, I can't miss it again. I can't miss it. Next year, I can't miss it. But I'm so blessed, and they must come and tell us, they will next week, on what they experience. And now, and Yaku's already thinking that we shouldn't go to Angola next year, but we must start praying that God tells us where in our nation, in the north. And by the way, we've got Sarah's not here. But we've got people that are linked up, man, connected politically. They're in the right tribes. You know, there's like tribe stuff. And there's a like Sam Yoma's tribe. And I don't know how it works. But we've got the people that are connected here. Why are they connected? So that we can get them saved one day. The whole of the Oshivambus. All of them. Every single one of them. Praise God. Then he said, oh, let the... Now this is, forgot again, it's Abram that was speaking to God. God wanted to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. Just saying, I'm sick and tired of these people. They're full of sin. I just want to kill them all. That's what he said. And now Abram says, Lord, let not the Lord be angry and I will speak. Suppose the 30 are found there. He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Then Abram, he said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, suppose 20 are found. He answered, for the sake of the 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, O Lord, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found, he answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went his way when he had finalized speaking to Abram, and Abram returned to his place. God wanted to kill everybody then. Abram said, Lord, please, can I? So he was like bargaining with God. And then God changed his mind because of one man that stood in a gap and said, all these people can't die. The same with Jonah. Jonah was called to go to a sinful city and intercede and prophesy over them. He didn't want to do that. And in the end, I believe, Jonah says, or it's God that says, I can't just wipe out this nation, this city. I love these people, these sinners. I love them. Go, you must stand in the gap for me. Change my mind, Jonah. Okay, in the gap. God must speak to us in prayer more. We prophesy. No, we're not prophesy. We speak that vision all the time. Let me read. To reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. We must plant the church in the north. Amen. Finished. Another thing. Jeremiah 51 verse 12. Watchmen. Okay, I spoke about this a little bit. But you know, in the baboon tribes. Not tribes. Baboon. What do you call a bunch of baboons? Troops. They've got the brandwag. I don't know what's it in English. The what? The watchman. It's that big one that sits on the rock. And whenever a hyena comes or you drive by with your car, he starts making the noise. And then all the kids are like running. Watchman, is that what? That's that watchman. He sits and he's supposed to see the enemy coming and then warn the rest. And our watchman must wake up. Talking to myself. But that when that Satanist was here in our kirk and our church, and I once again say, maybe the guy gave his life to God. That's fine. I'm not judging him. But like Fred and them, when that, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, there were people running naked on the stage. Some other people came in. But God warned them about it. God didn't say specifically what was happening, but Fred SMS'd all his elders and say, something is going to happen tonight. Be ready. All I'm saying is, I want to know before the Satanists are in this church, somebody must hear it and say, they're going to come tonight. And then we pray in Jesus' name. We take hold of that thing, what they have, their plans. We bind it. Lord, bring them in. Save them. Come, please. Please. Come. But we know about you. Watchmen. They see stuff, they warn the rest. Set up the standard against the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has both planned and done what he spoke concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. Isaiah 62:6. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You put the Lord in remembrance. Take no rest. So what I'm just saying, it's very easy. So spiritually, when we come to intercession on Tuesdays, I'm not leading intercession anymore. It's quite a task, a taxing task, to be honest, when I led the intercession, because, and now Yaku is doing a great job there, but we all know at intercession, some days we have good days and some days we have bad days. The good days are there when it's like we're all there and we just start sharing, God told me this and we must pray for that. That's good intercession, because then everybody realizes, God's been speaking to us, and I mean, it's confirmation. You saying what he said, we know what to pray for. Then sometimes we call it, come there, and I'm asleep and yawning, and then it's like a boring intercession because the watchman wasn't awake. We should come to intercession most of the times knowing what to pray for because we're watchmen, not figuring out there what to pray for. Because then we pray these useless, sorry prayers like, Lord, bless us. Then, Lord, no, man. That's when you're a Christian, when you're a baby Christian, you pray that. You grow, and then it's like, Lord, take Richard. I used him as an example. He comes with these amazing things. We must pray for this, and I saw this vision and that stuff. That's watchman. That's the stuff we should pray about. That's growing spiritually. and excites me. Does it excite you? Isaiah 56 verse 10. His watchmen are blind. They are all without knowledge. They are all silent dogs. They cannot bark, dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber. Okay, we should not be like that. But I am blessing you and saying, obviously, there's also scripture that says God makes us willing and able to do His will. So if I'm preaching this and it's a bit challenging, God will make you able and willing to grow. If you feel you can't pray prophetically or spiritually, whatever, that's cool. God used a bunch of fishermen with no degrees and no Bible school training to change the world. You don't need a lot. You need a willing heart. Amen. Why? I'm going to end with this. Why? Why? Why do we need to grow in prayer? I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their groaning, and I've come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. It's very easy. It's just a scripture I'm using here. But all of our... The one thing that still drives me from doing what I'm doing is a vision that I got from God, is that I must lead people. Make a long story short, is I feel responsible. An intercessor feels responsible. He's got responsibility on his shoulders. God is love, but not challenges. Our callings are bigger than ourselves. Simple as that. We are called, and I'm telling you, your whole life is going to change the moment you start thinking along these lines. Put first the kingdom of God, and then all things will follow. If we just say, but all right, I need more money, I would like more money or a bigger house, but I'm actually okay, let me rather pray for that guy that God put in my heart. Your life will change. Your life changes from complaining about your wife or your husband or the church, from I'm part of the solution. And I'm part of the deliverance. There are some people that it's actually my job to get them delivered, not Theus or Yakus. Okay, why? To deliver people, to bring salvation to people. I love preaching this because I'm an evangelist. I would love just preaching about this all the time. Psalm 2 verse 8, ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance. What? Not wait until I give it to you. Ask of me. And I'll make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. While we were worshipping in the Afrikaans service, I don't know if they played you that DVD of the Afrikaans CD they're going to launch. Singing Afrikaans. That one guy, I think the main singer. What's his name again? Man, he was at my brother's wedding. He was best man. He's completely English. As English as you can get. Now he's singing Afrikaans CD. Cool stuff. But when I was just standing there and, you know, this sermon, and I was just seeing that the Oshivambus, the Hereros, must make CDs. They must sing in their language. That is part of our inheritance as a shofar church. It should be everybody's inheritance. But that's a bit bigger vision. But that's where we need to go to. See those, imagine those, one day we've got a church there and they're bringing out their own CD, man. That's what God wants. He says, this is what He says, Isaiah 56, 7. These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. In Afrikaans it says, for alle volke. It's almost like not only nations, but it's tribes. Also, it's the... Who's Oshivambu here? Who's Hereru? Who's Damara? Who's Afrikaans? Who's English? What's the rest? Huh? Dutch. Anything else here? Huh? German? Jacob Angu. Yeah. But that's great. I was saying it in the Afrikaans service. I'll do it again. There's not a lot of Afrikaans people here. But I was telling them, Afrikaans people, and I said, you're not special, but your calling is special. For Afrikaans people, that you need to think about it. There's a legacy that we carry about apartheid. It's a shameful one. And when you come to Christ, I had to leave behind some of my inheritance, the bad side. I had to say bye to some friends, which I didn't want to say bye to. But I cannot be so proud in certain things that are not godly, and I don't know if I'm making sense. But I'm still proud of being an Afrikaner. You must be proud that you're an Oshivambu, but he's going to require you to let go of some things of your inheritance. Your ancestral spirits, you'll have to leave that stuff. Theo, you have to get to a place where you don't hate black people anymore, okay? If you want to be saved. Because I need to save you. We must get rid of that baggage that comes with our inheritance. But then if you move on, why I've said this, who are the majority of the people that get saved at Angus Buchan's meetings? Angus Buchan's. Who are the majority of those people? The Afrikaans people. They're not special. God wants them to leave some of the inheritance behind, that legacy, and continue. And in our... we must just work together to get our nation saved. That is our inheritance. A house of prayer for all peoples, for all nations. If... are you getting the picture? So... next year, we must go. We must plant a church somewhere. We already have, I don't know, I'm not saying where we should go to, but anyway. Always, when people go on a mission team, when they see the need of somebody else, like they're more blessed than what the reason they're actually going for. Because they come back and they say, Lord, help me to stand in the gap for some people here. I've seen them. I've seen their distress. I've seen their pain. Pray, thank you, Jesus, for what I have. Everything changes. the focus changes. Everything changes. Lord changes. Can we stand? Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for your Holy Spirit, Father, and you need to impregnate us with your will. You need to impregnate us with your desires and your heart, and take out some things in our lives because we miss your heart. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for being so gracious to us. Your grace covers our sins. It covers our shortcomings. It covers all the bad stuff, and you're still using us. We thank you for that. Father, we thank you for our families. We thank you for our peaceful nation. But Father, help us to grow. Lord, I pray that you will impart some of that tormenting that you experience of people that don't know you. You must give some of that to us, Lord, but to the right people. Change us first to be receptors of that. We people that vessels, clean vessels, like your word says, that we will be able to receive it and then carry the responsibility to pray it through and to pray it into being, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll do that in His Spirit. And we say, well, we realize it needs to happen if we want to grow. And Father, help us to grow. Help us to fulfill your call in our lives. Father, I pray for lots of people here too, that we're worried about so many things, and you're not necessarily worried about them, because you're worried about other things. Change us, Lord, to take the scales of our eyes. Remove us from this world, Lord. Remove us from the distractions in Jesus' name, Father. Keep us pure. Keep us holy. Make us pure. Make us holy, Father. We lay our lives down before you. We ask for your the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. Father, we thank you that your, when we're covered by your blood, Father, you see Jesus Christ in us and we can move and operate. Father, thank you for watchmen that will, we will be awake in this church. Father, we welcome those people from the occult. We want to see them in your presence, Father. We want to see them get saved in your presence. We're not going to be angry and fighting against them. We'll fight against the demon and the devil that keeps them in that stronghold, Father. But we speak this morning, even as they have their plans this morning, we speak it and we say that we love you and Jesus loves you. And Father, I pray that when they come into our midst, or wherever they come, or wherever plans they have, Lord, that some, even some of them, will just realize in Jesus' name, Father, that there is something that they're believing a lie. Some of them must start doubting what they are doing, because they can see the truth, and the truth will set them free. Father, Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. We want to, when we come into contact with those people, when we lay hands on them, Father, they must get delivered. Help us. Give us the anointing of the Holy Spirit to walk at in another level. Father, we thank you. We don't want to ask for the signs and wonders to come. We thank you that as we walk in your way, in your purpose for our lives, the things will follow, Lord God, because you need to deliver some of them. We need the authority of the Holy Spirit to be upon our lives so that these people can be set free. In Jesus' name. I just want us to keep our heads bowed. If you are here this morning, I don't know why. If you want prayer for this, I don't know what to call you forward for, but if you want prayer for this, then just I want you to come forward and we'll pray for you. Is there anybody that wants prayer in this area? We must pray for your prayer life or something like that. Is there anybody? Yeah, just put up your hand quickly. Is there somebody? Okay, can you come forward, please? And we're going to pray for you. I'll close off and then we pray for these people. I don't know what we should pray for, but just come forward if God's calling you. Father, I pray for this man in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you will bless him. Father, I pray that you will lift this man's in the spirit, just lift his hands, Lord God, and I pray for a fresh turnaround in his life. Father, I thank you that as he is he'll be intimidating in the spirit, Lord. He'll be an intimidation in the spirit because he'll be anchored in your word, Lord God. He'll speak from your word. Father, I thank you that soos 'n radio wat ingestel word aan die vir die sein, Here, sal hy ingestel word om reg te hoor, om presies te hoor. Here, nou soveel goed wat hom in die laaste tyd die sein geblur het. Maar in Jesus naam sê ek die sein moet skoon wees en jy moet hoor. Jy gaan hoor presies wat die Here sê. En Vader, ek vra dat u hom that you will just he'll feel like he used to feel. He'll feel even better, Lord God. He'll feel that you're with him constantly in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for this lady also in Jesus' name that you'll bless her, Father.